Well, howdy, folks. I sure am glad to see you back this week for this episode of Three Things. Today I've got some things to share. What do you know? A mystery to answer, a few facts, and a little bit of fun. First, though, I would love to say a most sincere thank you to the new listeners and subscribers to the show from, gosh, just all over the globe. This is most gratifying and makes me feel soups proud. Thank you to the new listening folks from Kassel in Frankfurt in Germany, Johannesburg, South Africa, Bangalore and Mumbai in India, London and Exeter over in the UK, you over there in Nairobi, Kenya, I see ya, and in Hsinchu, China, that's awesome, and Singapore, and Toronto, Canada. My very close neighbors to right over there, eh? Guadalajara, Mexico. And here in the USA, in Hickory and Minneapolis and Knoxville and St. Louis and San Jose and Durham and Alexandria and Omaha. That's just naming some. I am so thankful for your ears and your kind attention. I invite you to follow and or subscribe and share, so that the sharing can go on and on. All right, that's enough of the gushy emotional stuff. I could get all teary. Seriously though, I really do thank you all, everyone. Let's go ahead and do this whole show thing now, yeah? Thing number one today is cryopreservation, or cryonics. This pseudoscience is the attempt to preserve organisms, humans in this instance, for later medical procedures when they have what they need in future. There are still facilities in the USA and in other countries that maintain morbid morgues full of frozen humans' heads or full bodies, awaiting a more medically advanced future. The thing is, though, that even a future doc isn't going to be able to fix whatever medical condition killed those folks, because their bodies are never going to make it to that point, because the cryogenic freezing process is just nowhere near even kind of close to being anywhere near ready. Human bodies and brains are especially hard to preserve in this way, if you want to thaw, treat, and reanimate them anyway. You see, once they die, the race has already begun. The body has to be prepared and cooled before decay begins, which is actually immediately. Then it has to be wrapped up in layers of insulation and secured to a stretcher and placed head down in a dewar, which is pretty much a big old thermos filled with liquid nitrogen. That vessel goes into another one with a vacuum layer separating them. And even with good seals and such, the liquid nitrogen eventually boils away and must, on occasion, be topped up. When folks first started freezing other folks for fun and profit, it was pretty barbaric, really. In early times, technicians hastily prepared and cooled their corpsey clientele on chunks of dry ice before cramming them into storage capsules. This was not apparently the best way to do this deed, as most of the attempts turned into ghoulishly gruesome nightmares. One mortician got tired of bodies lying about on icy beds, so he got a dewar and just crammed four people into one, an action which was described as putting a puzzle together of frozen humans. Ugh. Then this guy lied to people after he stopped getting paid for the storage by the families of the cooled clients. So he let them thaw, and left the whole thing just festering in his storage vault. At yet another underground body storage facility, the place was poorly designed at the outset and the pipes running to and fro were left uninsulated, which led to a series of failures of the vacuum jackets. So the bodies inside thawed a bit, moved and settled a bit, and then refroze. And stuck to the sides of the capsule like that kid sticking his tongue to the metal pole in A Christmas Story. Yeah. those bodies had to be completely thawed to unstick them. And then they had to be refrozen and put back in the container. And then there was yet another equipment failure. And those bodies just decomposed into a glob of fluids. The solution this time was to thaw the whole thing, scrape the remains out, and then just bury them. So that was a whole lot of wasted time and energy, eh? Even when the cryogenic process is successful, in quotes, the problems are legion, starting with just moderate skin cracks and just going to the nth on the horror scale from there. What looked to be minor skin cracking was far more. Cuts went through the skin, through the subcutaneous fat, and into the muscle or body wall. Blood vessels ruptured throughout the body, from the skin all the way in. Nearly every organ in one body was fractured. In another cryo patient, every single major blood vessel near the spleen, lungs, and heart were nearly bisected, and the fractures to the intestines were extensive. Only the kidneys and liver of that patient were not obliterated, but there was certainly doubt they'd work anyway, should some future doctor give that a go. Yet another body, one which was thawed more slowly and carefully, looked a lot better on the outside with only a few boo-boos readily visible on the skin and no blown out blood vessels, but the guts were just destroyed. All of the organs were either severed from their moorings or just badly cracked. The spinal cord was broken into three parts, and the heart of this person was fractured, and not in a romantic way. When examiners put dye into the thawed arteries, it didn't go where they hoped it might. It just leaked out of the skin fractures. So looking at the cases at hand, it didn't then and still doesn't look good for the whole freeze me now, fix me later bunch. Aside from trying to keep organs and muscles and the like in one piece, the pieces, molecular structures that is, of those structures just cannot take being frozen without damage on the smallest scale. If you can't keep a cell wall from breaking when you freeze it, and everything is made out of cells, then your project is kind of doomed from the get-go. One more thing to consider as well, nutty relatives, or even well-meaning ones, might just fuck everything all up, despite your prior planning. Like one guy who went and picked up his frozen mom and hauled her around in a truck on dry ice for some time before he buried her poor self at last. There's also the Norwegian guy who was frozen and initially stored in a facility in California, who was removed from said facility by his daughter, who then took his body to her home in Colorado and put him in an ice shed back behind her house. He stayed there until she was evicted from the property and he was found. That was in a little town called Nederland, which now has a Frozen Dead Guy Days celebration every year. Even with the chances of so wished for immortality being as slim as they are, dozens of people each year still have their heads or just brains or whole bodies cryogenically preserved. At least now there's a better chance that their body or body parts will remain frozen for decades now instead of how it was at the beginning of this whole fad. I say fad because science just isn't there yet. Humans can accomplish some pretty amazing shit given time and inclination to do so, but this reanimating and curing of frozen people is still far, far, far into the future. Now, downloading your consciousness into a computer is a far more likely scenario, as it is, and that's one I'm totally down for. This here brain, in a computer or even a robotic body, learning forever, because I love to learn. Yeah, I could do that. For now, though, it's just my thoughts that can live forever in this here ether web via this here thing, thing number one. For today, with which I am finished.
No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco gold is
bad as we
cut. How that sound to you?
Hey, man, that was far out, man. We got a cut, man.
Yeah, that sounded pretty good to me. I think we can wrap it up.
Oh, I ain't know, man. No, I want to do it again, man.
Again?
Yeah, man, like I had a thing to do, you know, when you talk, man, when the cat talks, I got a thing to say, man. I was going to say it, but I forgot it, man.
You want to do it again?
Yeah, man, let's do it again.
Okay, all right.
Hold it, give me a joint, man. Give me another joint.
Here.
Okay, far out, man. Okay, we'll get it right this time, man.
All right, let's try it again, huh?
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Acapulco Gold Filters, take 403.
Now, this some bad weed.
Hi there, folks. Smoking more now, but getting high less? Try new Acapulco Gold filters, regular and menthol. Acapulco Gold, just a stony, 3 hits longer. And be sure to save the groovy coupons on the back. How do you think I got this? Out of sight hash pipe. But don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Ashley Roachclip of the Jefferson Hair Pie has to say.
Hey, that's right, man. You know, I really, man, I got you really down to where it's at. Oh, man. I'm going to tell you, every time I lay some of this gold on my friends, man, they light it up, man, and they just take one talk, man, and they look at me and say, Roach, this weed's a motherfucker, man.
Oh, now you can't say that in there. You know that's not you. That's not right.
Hey, man, what you want now? Good grammar or good taste?
All right, listen, we'll keep going. Remember, folks, it's Acapulco Gold, the herb superb. Long in the leaf and short in the can. No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco Gold is...
badass weed.
Cut.
Listen, you can bleep out that other part.
As previously stated in a prior episode of Three Things, I am putting on my big girl pants because I am an adult on the earth and getting past the stigma of being a user of cannabis. I'm sick of feeling hinky because of a plant. Cannabis is a friend to all who would understand the wondrous gift she gives, that is. See, from my point of view, I was a dumbass kid. I did a lot of dumbass things like falling down a mountain, surfing and getting the shit beat out of me by the ocean, riding fucking broncs and bulls, which you generally fly off of in the end onto the hard, hard ground with a big hard thump and hopefully no limb between you and the ground. I skateboarded into a building once. I shouldn't have done that, because I can feel it all over again at any given movement. Oh. And I was tossed down some stairs, which did damage as it will. The point is that I have tons of pain every fucking day, and if I didn't have the gift of the earth in the form of cannabis, I'd probably be just an awful person, because pain can make you bitchy. Just saying. So personally, cannabis has always had a positive effect on my life, in the form of not only nice buzzes, but in the form of real, actual pain relief. And I'm not planning on stopping or replacing cannabis as a form of pain relief anytime soon. Not ever, in fact. My use is mainly in the form of the flower and the smoking of it, but I also make use of CBD oils and tinctures and edibles. They help. Period. Did you know that cannabis farming was first recorded in Tibet, on the Eastern Plateau to be precise, and that Chinese farmers grew it for not only the oils contained within, but also for the fiber with which they made clothing, rope, and paper? The first use of cannabis for the buzzy part of the wondrous plant was traced to the Pamir Mountains in western China some 2,500 years ago. They used to boil the pretty flowers to make tea. The Greek historian Herodotus wrote of the Scythians in 440 BC, a long time ago, that they would make tents and use hot rocks to pretty much hotbox the tent with hemp smoke, which caused them to, quote-unquote, shout for joy. I think that's pretty amazing, and also a pretty clear indicator of the things which came after in the long, long, long relationship between humans and cannabis. The famous and famously talented and just super positive artist Bob Marley was interred with his guitar and a nice marijuana bud. In his last days, marijuana offered him surcease from pain and the comfort of an old friend, Rastafarian. So this man, known in Fargo, North Dakota, where he lives as Grandpa, but actually named Walter Rodland, was an active older gentleman, 81 years old, and he loved to enjoy the outdoors and work in his garden and hunt and fish. He started having trouble getting the air he needed to do his outdoorsy things, and was diagnosed with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, which left him in pain and out of breath. The blood clots in his lungs and the pain meant Walter could no longer enjoy the outdoors, which is just sad as hell. But then his daughter told him about CBD oil. His using CBD oil not only enabled him to lower dosages on his prescribed medications, but also increased his lung capacity. Now Walter can do the things he loves again. And I think that's worth about a million millions of whatever you got. Did you know that there are more names for Weedleys than you can actually shake a joint at? I'm gonna toss some off here real quick, starting with the ever popular Wacky Tobacky. Weed, pot, dank, zoot, smoot, dekine, alfalfa, devil's lettuce, bong, bud, pakalolo, mafafa, maja, grifa, igbo, mare, and ganja. There are some in there from around the globe, and I love how they sound. I suppose that's it for this can of fix bit here. This is me, your pot-loving weed wizard, stoner, smoker, burnout, hippie-doper pothead host, Jenna, heading out. Gonna go blaze me one. I'll be back. Well, here we are, June 5th, the day I reveal that first mystery sound. Here it is. I've had some great guesses, many of them having to do with the expellation of methane-y air from the backside of a being, but no, it's not a manipulated fart, which just sounds awful. It is actually the air blend doors of my Jeep. When I start the Jeep, the blend doors open so that conditioned air can flow into the cabin. When I turn off the Jeep, those blend doors close, slowly and warpily. And they make this glorious sound. She, my Annie, the Jeep, I love her, grew up in Arizona where it's hot and plastic is warped and destroyed and just mangled by that heat. So when those doors close, they make this lusciously farty-esque noise. As one young family member put it, "Honey, your truck is farting." Me too, buddy. Me too. I appreciate all of the wonderful guesses I got about this first mystery sound, but apparently I'm incredible at picking strange noises to bewitch, bewilder, and bemuse, just saying. And my hat is safe, for now. I will reveal the second mystery sound on next week's episode of Three Things. Here's that sound again in case you missed it. Now, I'm a bit of an audiophile, as if you've listened to other episodes of Three Things, you've probably deduced, so this is super fun for me. And it seems to be giving a giggle here and there, so I shall continue this segment. with the support of you, lovely listeners. Another way to support this and other segments would be to follow and subscribe. It's free and it informs the direction of the show in the future. The next mystery sound will be revealed on June 19th for a bit more fun. Join me for that, yeah? And now it's time for one of my favorite things, the GWOD, grandiloquent word of the day. The first letter of the GWOD today is a good one. It starts one of my favorite words, but everyone knows and way overuses that word already. And thinking fancily, you might think that I would pick something like, philosophy, nasi, nihilopilification. That's the categorizing of something that's useless or trivial, but that's not it either. No perdoodles. The GWOD today is the word fjerk. It is a verb. It is pronounced fjerk, and it is spelled fjerk. No, actually it's spelled F-Y-E-R-K. It means to flick away using one's finger and thumb, like when you flick away a bothersome bug, or an annoying little brother, or kid, dog, whatever. I will use it in as alliterative a sentence as I am able, in honor and memory of Samantha, alliterative genius. A finicky fudgeon finds fanciful flair frustraneous, and the frustling about of a Franian offensive, but a fearless farceur full-on refutes such a finding with a forcible, yet fabulous, fjerk. Bug me, that was fantastic. So there you go. Fjerk. Funky. Fun. You know, I have a Ko-fi page where I'll put the definitions of the other rather grand words I use in construction of these sentences. You could, should you so wish, visit said page, see what those words mean, because of vocabulary, and you can even join the community and support the show by buying me, Jenna, a cuppa. Elsewise, you can also support the show by just subscribing and or following on whatever platform or app you use to listen to podcasts, or on the homepage of the show, 3things.podomatic.com. That's the number 3, the word things, .podomatic.com. It's free to subscribe. It's free to follow. It's free.
Staring at the TV set, play that, let me see that Genesis. Gamer staring at the TV set, play that, I wanna see that NES. Come play with me, come play with me. Some PSP, some 360, some PS3. Work them sticks, gamer. Touch all the buttons on the controller. Grab on those joysticks and give them both a twirl. I wanna see you playing on the living room floor. This here ain't luck, what you think I play so much for? And I'm just getting warmed up. It takes half a day before I get a sore butt. Clicky, 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 now I'm in the next world. Work them sticks, gamer. I wanna see that controller shake. Come to my mom's crib, we can play until daybreak. We can play until your thumbs ache. Think about that, but right now I'm gonna master the game Grand Theft Auto. You think I'm going fast now? Just wait until I hit turbo. I play in their world. Work them sticks, gamer. Gamer staring at the TV set. Play that, let me see that Genesis. Gamer staring at the TV set. Play that, I wanna see that NES. Come play with me, come play with me. Some PSP, some 360, some PS3. Work them sticks, gamer. Pardon all the trash talk, but sorry about your loss. I just scored a touchdown using Randy Moss. Get that internet connection and plug it on me. I'm feeling real cocky, I'll take on your friends. We can gather around my new 360. It ain't nothing to a gamer, I play on the Xbox Live a lot. I'm always in the cyber world. Work them sticks, gamer. And I'ma make them look dumb. Old gritty hardcore, you don't want none.
I'ma be here all night just staring at the screen, working on my game till I'm the best on my team. Work it to the right, move your finger to the left, work them all around till your fingertips are red. And I ain't kidding you, I like Xbox more than my girl. Work them sticks, gamer, gamer. Staring at the TV set, play that, let me see that Genesis. Gamer, staring at the TV set, play that, I wanna see that NES. Come play with me, come play with me. Some PSP, some 360, some PS3. Work them sticks, gamer. When the game's over, you know I'm talking trash. If you wanna lose again, you can have a rematch. Geeky young girls love to watch me play in. Baby, in a month I'll be at a tournament. I'm doing hard work when you see me on my couch. No, I don't work out, why you think I got this pouch? And I'm not gonna budge, you never play too much. Work them sticks, gamer. Go on and put in Halo. You see that X and Y, I'ma show you what they made for. Sure, against beginners you're unbeat, but let me see how you play when you play against the junkie. Cause you're nothing but a rookie. I hope your butt's ready to receive this as a whoopin'. I'ma show you some new tricks I just learned. Work them sticks, gamer. Gamer, staring at the TV set, play that, let me see that Genesis. Gamer, staring at the TV set, play that, I wanna see that NES. Come play with me, come play with me. Some PSP, some 360, some PS3. Work them sticks, gamer.
Thing number two today, I have the bees. Bees are cool. Bees are awesome. Bees are great dancers. Bees are also very smart. And bees are cultured. There's plenty of evidence that a learned behavior shared and then shared again until it becomes a matter of course in a community or population is culture. Turns out lots of animals have their own culture. Vervet monkeys, cranes, meerkats, bighorn sheep, and the bees. Bumblebees are fully capable of cultural transmission of information from one bee to another, even passing on a particular learned action to unlearned bees. This is the creation of a cultural signature for their particular colony, as it is passed on, once learned, to the rest of the colony members. It's like when honeybees do their little waggle dance to communicate to members of their colony where the flowers are, how many there are, and how good they are. Bumblebees can be taught to access rewards for pulling strings or rolling little balls, or even tab pushing, and they can then impart that knowledge to their bumblebee brethren. Some scientists adapted a puzzle design used before, but in birds and primates, that includes two tabs and two color choices, red and blue, and one reward. They could push a red tab clockwise or a blue tab counterclockwise to get access to a sugar solution, which was on a yellow spot below them. Once the demonstrator bees from four colonies were trained, half to use red and half to use blue, they were returned to their respective colonies along with accessible puzzle boxes loaded up with the reward. The demonstrator bees went straight to work opening the boxes just as they'd learned, and a bunch of their colony buddies learned how to do it as well, by watching them. And the behavior came a part of their normal culture, a thing they do, d'accord, the huge. So bumbles are just like us humans apparently, in that there are distinct personalities. Some are lazy asses, some are real go-getters, and some are just steadfast worker types. I'm sure there are shades of gray in there, just like with humans too. Some of those go-getter types learned the desired behavior in just a day, while others took up to 4 days, but they did learn the behavior. While there's more to do with this study and studies of other living things, There is a ton of evidence that culture is something that is not just for humans. I've been watching animals all my life, and I've seen behaviors taught and learned, to my mind at the time, mimicked or just copied. But now I know differently, and it's pretty neat to understand that even animals have culture, because Earth needs someone to have some damn culture. I mean, human culture seems a bit, I don't know, downfall-y lately? Think about it. Will I bring this thing, the number two thing, to an end today? I'm gonna go find my puzzle box now. Und jetzt, it is time for the TDIH, this day in history. It's June 5th today, and that makes today the 156th day of the year. 157 if it were a leap year, but it ain't, in the Gregorian calendar. And that means that there are 209 days left in 2023. Here are some things that happened on this day in history. A fairly important, although quite normal really, thing happened on June 5th in 1661 to Isaac Newton. That's when he was admitted as a student to Trinity College in Cambridge. I'm really glad that he was a mathy guy and liked light and planets and things, and discovered gravity, because I don't want to fly off the earth or slide off the edge or whatever. José Doroteo Arango Arámbula, better known as Francisco Pancho Villa, was born in La Coyotada, San Juan del Rio, Durango, Mexico, on June 5th, 1878. He was a Mexican leader who pushed land reform and advocated for the poor. He also helped lead the Mexican Revolution, ending the reign of Porfirio Diaz, which enabled the creation of a new Mexican government. Villa is still fondly remembered today as a champion of the lower classes and a folk hero. Elena Lucrecia Cornero Piscopia, also Helen Cornero, was born in Venice, Italy, in 1646, on this day. She was an Italian mathematician and philosopher of noble descent. She was the first woman to receive an academic degree from a university. She became the first woman in the world to receive a PhD degree in 1678. Oh, and she was also considered an expert musician. Talented gal, that Elena. The utterly brilliant American author, Ray Bradbury, died on June 5th in 2012 at the tender age of 91. His greatest and most recognized work was the classic dystopian work Fahrenheit 451, which right now feels a little bit too on trend in USA. He also wrote The Martian Chronicles and Something Wicked This Way Comes and The Illustrated Man, and a lot of other completely brilliant books and stories and poems. In 1981, the world's first Today in History program with editable data, Today, invented by William Butler, ran for the first time on a mainframe computer. It was in 1849 that the absolute monarchy in Denmark was abolished to be replaced by a new constitution that established a constitutional monarchy with a parliament, as well as religious freedom, freedom of the press, and the right to form associations and hold meetings. Did you know that June 5th, 1876 was the day that Americans first met bananas at the World's Fair in Philadelphia? Yeah, I love bananas. Until then, bananas were pretty much unheard of. And as noted, I love me some bananas, radioactive or not. 1883 saw the first Orient Express train leave Paris on a legendary journey to Istanbul and into literary history, as it is featured in many works of popular culture, including Murder on the Orient Express by Agatha Christie and Bram Stoker's Dracula. 1893, June 5th. The trial of Lizzie Borden began in New Bedford, Massachusetts. for the murder of her father, to whom she gave 40 whacks, and stepmother, to whom she gave 40 whacks. Actually, according to trial transcripts, which are kind of fascinating if a bit gross, there were only 29 whacks given in total. On June 5th in 1953, a general manager was hammering nails into a display and caused the explosion at an Alco Fireworks and Specialty Company warehouse in Houston, Texas, killing 4 people. 73 people were also injured in the explosion, as over 400,000 pounds of fireworks exploded inside the factory. It was 1956 when Elvis Presley first performed Hound Dog on live TV on the Milton Berle Show. It was Elvis at his Elvisy best, and this is when he got the nickname Elvis the Pelvis. Hound Dog went on to sell about 10 million copies. On June 5, 1968, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, after claiming victory in California's Democratic presidential primary at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, was shot and mortally wounded. His assassin was arrested at the scene. June 5th, 2002, Dee Dee Ramone, founding father of and bassist for most bestly great and awesome punk band, the Ramones, did a stupid and died from a heroin overdose at his home in the Hollywood district of Los Angeles, California, and I'm still pissed off about it.
Welcome to a new way to communicate, a new source of news, information, and computer software. Introducing American Online.
Hey, with American Online, I can just point and click.
Oh, wait. With American Online, you can send and receive email, even across the internet.
Hey, I've got email. Okay, I open the mailbox. No, that's not it. No.
American Online puts you in touch with information resources all across the country.
How do you get this thing open? Application in use? What application? I can't even start any applications.
Call now for your free trial. You'll get free software and 10 hours of free online time your first month, which you can spend trying to figure out how to open your email box.
Second timed out? What does that mean? Jesus, I hate this thing.
American Online. It's knowledge. It's power.
It sucks!
And now for thing number 3 for today. I love a good play on words, or just playing with words, or giving goofy names to people and places and things, and or appreciating the goofy and silly names that already exist, like these here. In lovely Wales, there is a town with a name with more letters in it than it has people living in it. It's spelled LLANFAIR PWLL GWYNGYLL GOGERYCHWYRN DROBLLLANTYS ILIOGOGOGOCH. It's not only a very long, long, long name, it's also just super duper descriptive, as it tells one exactly where the town is. It stands for St. Mary's Church in the hollow of the White Hazel near a rapid whirlpool and the Church of St. Ticilio of the Red Cave. Lanfir pul gwyn gilgoger quirn drob ul landis ilio gogogoch. I'm sure I did that horribly, but come on. Lan fir pul gwyn gilgoger quirn drob ul landis ilio gogogoch. Without an accent. You try it. I'm gonna do more fun and interesting and even goofy place names, alphabetically, as is my wont. I'm not sure if I'd be happy or unhappy, preppery type that I am, to live in a place called Apocalypse Peaks in Antarctica. I rather like and appreciate bees, but I don't think I like them the way they might like them in Bee Lick, Kentucky. There's a town called Come By Chance in one of my favorite places, New South Wales, Australia. I've gone by chance, but I'd return on purpose. Oh, current home state of Minnesota. We've a dinky town, eh? Alrighty then. I suppose that's a bit better than okay, it's just Eek, Alaska. And I know it's better than Fart, Virginia. That wasn't me. Was it you? He who smelt it, dealt it? Ew. I want to go to Go-Go-Go-Go, Madagascar. Wait, stop. That's probably expensive, right? Oh my gosh, back in Minnesota again, but this time to, wait, can't be. Ham Lake? A lake of ham, is it? Interested I am. And returning to Australia, the western bit this time, there's a town called Innaloo, which rhymes with place to poo. Just saying. Up in Newfoundland, you can find Jerry's nose, not too far from Joe Bat's arm. Those are towns. Kissing, Bavaria, Germany. Sounds like a nice place, doesn't it? Lick Fork, Virginia. Is that a command? Because I will lick that fork, if the food's good. Oh, Kentucky, a town called Monkey's Eyebrow? Really? You sure that monkey's eyebrow ain't just old Clem's hair ring? I don't know how the fuck you might find it on a map if it has no name, but there's a town called No Name somewhere in Colorado. There's a town called OK in OKLAHOMA, where the wind comes rushing down the plains. Okay. Here is one of my top 10 place names and cat names and fiddly bit nomenclature. It's Punky Doodles Corners in Ontario, Canada. Yay. There exists a place in New Jersey, surprise, called Quibbletown. It's called that because of a dispute as to whether the Sabbath fell on Sunday or Saturday. Its actual name is Newmarket, so original, right? But Quibbletown is much more fun to say. There's a city in Paranya, Brazil called Rolandia. Translated to English, it means Dickland or Cockland. Lols. Every time I see Sandwich, Massachusetts on a map, I get hungry. I immediately lose, however, that appetite when I then see Toad Suck, Arkansas. Nine dunka. I must admit to a bit of curiosity when I wonder about the cut and color of the town Upper Thong, West Yorkshire in England, even as I wonder if there is a Lower Thong. Being a fan of the Trek, of course I love me some Vulcan in Alberta, in Canada, also poutine. The food. Being indecisive is hard enough without the USA map getting involved with such towns as why Arizona and why not North Carolina. There's a town in Utah named Xanadu. Is that where that one lady in that one song wants to always go or something? I don't know. Here's a fun one. Yell is an island in Shetland, Scotland. The main settlement is called Med Yell. There's also a Yell County in Arkansas. The sign says Yell County, so every time I go through there, I yell, dutifully, at the top of my lungs, County! Because I was raised a good and obedient child. The stoners like me out there will love this one, and I prefer the brand for my dubs, personally. It's Zigzag, and it's in Oregon. So having chosen one, or in a couple of cases, two goofy town names per letter for this thing, I simply must end this thing with what is quite possibly the most awesome town name, that's all capitalized, of all time in the whole universe. It's fucking Austria. It's a lovely town in a lovely place with lovely people. People who got fucking fed up with the English-speaking tourists making off with the fucking signs. So in 2004, they took a vote to change the 800-year-old name of the town. The vote failed because, well, fucking, right? They did, however, install theft-resistant steel-welded signs. In 2009, the Fuckingers, that's the villagers of the town of Fucking, got tired of people, read that as tourists, doing the humma humna humna in front of fucking signposts. So they put in CCTV cameras as a deterrent. So if you're planning on fucking about by fucking in front of the fucking sign, be aware, your fucking is probably on tape in the fucking city hall in Fucking in Austria. And that concludes this thing number three, that it be for today. Ooh, that was a bit of fun, eh? Yes? No? Let me know how you feel about it. It's easily done. Just pop me, your host, Jenna, an email at threethingspod@gmail.com. That's the number three, the words thingspod@gmail.com. Leave a comment on the homepage of the show. That's threethings.podomatic.com. Number three word things dot podomatic.com, or on whichever platform or app you use to listen to the show, and hopefully other podcasts as well. Feedback is just the best, and I really enjoy the comments I get, so please keep them coming. So hey man, be cool and follow and subscribe and share and things. That'd be awesome. Did you know that you can buy me a cuppa just to help keep me going? Yuppers. Just go to ko-fi.com/3things. That's me. And that'd also be awesome. In the meantime, you know how we all live on and share this beautiful but festering, amazing but horrible, uniquely lonesome place called Earth right now? Wouldn't it be great if we all get that and do what things, big and little, that we can to make it as nice as possible? I'm of the mind that we can do things like that, especially if we're happy in ourselves, and that it all begins within. So the next time you are about to go out into the world, first go look in a mirror, real quick. Look at your within. Find anything you might feel a little skidgy about having done or thought or felt that made you feel maybe a little oogie, and forgive it so that you can forgive yourself and be happy. Yes? Guten Tag, all y'all.